Good morning and welcome to Life Creek and our Sunday morning sermon for May the 3rd. And a couple of announcements before we begin. And that is that if you had not seen my word of encouragement on Friday, I was asking the church for all of us to spend the week praying through our directory. And Sabrina sent out that directory for us. So, and what I mean by praying through is call the name of every single person in prayer that is in that directory and let the Lord lead you on how to pray for that person. Perhaps there's something special, or you just say, bless them where they are. And let's be in that habit of praying for one another and encouraging one another in that way, and let God move on all of us in the church. Speaking of Sabrina, I just want to take a moment to thank her for all that she's done. She is the one that sends out these messages and does that 4 times a week and listens to them and puts some comment in about them. What a worker. And I just want to say thank you, Sabrina, and encourage the rest of the church to do so, because she is a great asset to the church. I mean, think about it. Even when we meet together, you know, she does the children's service, and she does the overhead and works with the sound, all those things. And there are lots of people doing some work in the church, but Sabrina has been really directly communicating with me. So I just want to say thank you. And also, of course, to Elder Frank, who's been very involved, and to all the leadership who is seeking the new pastor that will bless this congregation. Amen. So did want to take a moment. Now, I do want to jump into the sermon now. And what is it that I am sharing today? Well, you know, last week we talked about the church, the week before about what it means to be a disciple, and this week we are talking about what is faith. What is it? Can I increase in it? What does it look like? And I think this is important. You'll hear some things that you know already and that you've heard before, and some other things that perhaps you haven't. So let's go on to our verse, just real short. And I have shared this verse in some of the words of encouragement. And I just want to go a little bit more in depth today. And that is, the righteous shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. And if you heard that word of encouragement, you know that this scripture actually appears 4 times throughout the Bible, beginning in Habakkuk. And so obviously it must be a really important verse. The righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to give us direction in this word today. Increase our faith, Lord. And Father God, help us to understand it better, to move in faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And one of the reasons why I've chosen this subject today is because of response, actually, because the response that we should have to the lower numbers than were anticipated with this coronavirus. Rhonda and I did a little bit of math, and, you know, there are all kinds of rumors floating around and things like that, but just what's being recorded by the CDC, there is 5.83% of the people that are getting coronavirus have died. And, you know, there's rumors about how, you know, it's not any different from the flu. But the difference is this, that the flu, people do die in great numbers from the flu every year. But the numbers of people that get the flu are huge. And the percentage of people that have died from the flu has been very small, 1% or less. And so the numbers from the coronavirus could be huge, huge, in the millions. Now, I'm telling you all of this not as some sort of political fight or anything like that. What I want to bring across is those numbers have been kept incredibly small in the great scheme of things. And for that, I think we should respond in faith, thanking God for the miracle of answering prayer. We have asked that the coronavirus not succeed, and God is answering that. And I hope that that continues on that path that it is on so far, that the numbers have been far less than what were anticipated. And for that, I respond in faith and say, that's God. That's my God. That's his hand moving. So let's go ahead and talk more about faith, though. What is faith? And I want to move on and say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you must believe in God and that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. So, you know, I've met some people that say, oh, I wish I could have faith. I just don't have faith. That is maybe the most troubling response for me that I get from people. Because faith, you don't have to have absolute, unwavering faith in order to be a believer. We just believe that he is, that he died, he rose from the dead, and I realize that's hard to wrap my head around. But the way I pray sometimes is, Lord, give me that miraculous understanding. Reveal yourself to me. And when I run into people who have that as an objection, I do pray for them that God would show himself to them. Now, what is faith? That's what we want to talk about. What is it? And this is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And you may have heard this before. And I just got to say, when I first became a Christian, when I first became a follower and was seeking to understand more of God, I would read this. And I got to tell you, it didn't give me a whole lot of understanding, but I'm going to read it now. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's what I mean. That was confusing to me as a new believer. And we're gonna break this down a little bit. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That last part for me is pretty big, because this sets our worldview up. We believe that the world is, that it was created by God out of nothing. And I have yet to hear a better explanation. I could even talk science about the creation of the world and thermodynamics and things like that. No time to do that this morning. If you want more on that, ask me. We believe that God created this world. This is our worldview. This is the way we see the world. We see the world as God's creation. And help us, Lord, to see things moving in the world, to see this virus as you moving in the world as well. And that is an act of faith. Can I prove it? Well, then it wouldn't be an act of faith, would it? And I have talked about why faith before? And I want to say again, Adam and Eve believed a word of Satan. You know, God said, don't eat of this tree. Satan came along in the form of a serpent and said, did God really say that? You should doubt him. Listen to me. It will make you as gods. And instead, Adam and Eve chose to believe, to have faith in the word of the serpent instead of God. What we do now is we see this great revelation of God, Jesus, and Jesus has come, died, was buried, and rose from the dead. And the devil would say, no, that can't be true. But by faith, we believe that. That is undoing what Adam and Eve did. We're saying, we choose not to believe you, devil, but to believe God. We're choosing that. It is a choice. I'm choosing to believe. Lord, I thank you for it. And my worldview is fashioned after that. So that it comes from the faith chapter. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I want to remind us, you know, faith is something you can see. Faith is not an ethereal thing that is just some sort of mystical fog that's out there. No, faith is something that is seeable. Jesus saw their faith. Remember the story of the paralytic in Mark chapter 2. If you don't, reread it, and you will see that the scripture says in 2 verse 5 that Jesus saw their faith. That is because their faith, their belief that Jesus could heal their friend of his paralysis moved them to respond. And Jesus saw not just what they were doing, but he saw their faith, what motivated their doing. And Romans 4:3, Abraham, this is faith has always been how we come to God. Abraham in Genesis 15:6 believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You might have a little difficulty understanding what that means. What does it mean to credit Abraham for righteousness? It means it wasn't about the actions prior to believing. It wasn't about that he did things to make him worthy of righteousness. No, he is proclaimed righteous, which means in right standing with God, because he believed God's word. And in right standing, that, do you see that that is the answer? I'm in right standing with God because I believe you, Lord. I believe what you're telling me. Think about your father, your earthly father. You would be in wrong standing with him if dad said, hey, you know, this is what you should do. And you say, I don't believe you, dad. That puts a rift between you and your earthly father, doesn't it? And it's the same with God. But when you say, God, I believe you. I believe you're good. I believe you're looking out for me. I believe you rose from the dead. That puts us in a state of righteousness. It puts us in right standing with God. What does it profit, my brethren? Now, this I want to talk about again, what faith looks like. What does it profit, my brethren, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Do you see? If you have faith, you are moved by that faith. Can faith save him? Faith alone. You say you have faith. Oh, I believe that. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what good is that? What does it profit? Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, well, it's dead. It's not real. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You see, you say, what he is saying here is, you say you believe in God, but you have nothing that follows that. No good fruit, right? No, nothing that has moved you to do something. Your faith is not real, folks. It's not real. It's cover the base. James says it, not me. Your faith is dead. Verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? See, he was moved to do something. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And sometimes that might be difficult for us to understand. How is that working? But a real faith is moved. And I'm just going to give you another earthly example here. Think about your favorite football team. And a lot of times you go, man, the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. The Green Bay Packers, go Packers, they're the best. And you truly believe that. And you watch them with this great enthusiasm. And you tell others. Even that is a work, right? You're passing it on. Hey, Green Bay is going to win the Super Bowl this year. Hey, I'm going to buy a ticket. Oh, let me buy a scarf that's green and yellow. I mean, even that is movement of what you believe is true. You watch every game. You're using your time for them. You're studying the stats. I mean, all these things are faith that the Green Bay Packers are the best football team. So, and that is just an earthly example. And I will relate it to Rhonda and I. When we decided to move to Bolivia to share the gospel, I was at the top of my game as a lawyer. And it didn't matter. God was moving on us. And so we could have stayed where we were and said, you know, someday we're going to go to Bolivia. And nothing wrong with that. But we believed we were called then. And it was time to go. I was 50 years old when we left. And it came down to, Lord, if I'm going to go, I need to go now. And I believed it was the right time. And we left. And we saw miracle after miracle. It has been a wonderful experience and continues. We continue in contact with those people. We were moved by our faith. What about doubt? Is it okay to have doubt? So this is in Mark chapter 9. This is the Father. He comes to Jesus. He says, my son, he's throwing himself into the fire. You know, all these things are going on. You can heal him. Jesus said to him, if you can, he actually doubted. You know, he says, help me in my unbelief. If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And that young man was healed. Is it okay to doubt? We're human. We doubt. But God still answers that. And we have to be honest within our faith. Lord, you know, I'm having trouble believing this. Help me in my unbelief. And I just think God answers that prayer. He doesn't turn us away because of that. Let's talk about what a mature faith looks like, though. Some people say, you know, that, oh, well, you can't question God. And there's this thing about blind faith, that you don't really look at the circumstances. You just believe and you don't ask questions of God. That doesn't prove out biblically. In Habakkuk, particularly three chapters, read those three chapters. This is a mature faith. And in the end, this faith rests in the God of creation, even though Habakkuk did not understand what was going on and didn't want what was happening to happen. So let me just explain the story of Habakkuk to you. So Habakkuk was waiting. He had heard that the enemy was coming to attack Israel. And Habakkuk, he starts to pray to God. And he says, Lord, what's going on? These people are more evil than we are. How can you use these people against us? What's going on? And God said to them, you know, I'm bringing them. They're going to exact judgment upon you. And Habakkuk says, wait, that doesn't sound like you. How can you use people more evil than we are to judge us? This can't be you. And I'm going to sit myself right here until you answer me, Lord. And Habakkuk sat there. And he didn't understand what was going on. It didn't line up with his theology. His theology said, well, God blesses us. And God is good. And he only uses good. This doesn't make any sense. And he sat there. And he waited for God to answer. But he didn't really get another answer other than the one he already had. And he says, in chapter 3, he says, I hear the hooves of the horsemen coming. Can you imagine that? He's sitting there. He knows what's going to happen. He knows it more than anybody else knows it. It has been revealed to him. And the enemy is coming for him, to attack his people. And he says, I don't understand what's going on. What is happening? And his conclusion is this. Though the fig trees should not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines. And the reason he starts saying this is this enemy that is coming, they had a reputation for burning all the crops in case anyone escaped. They would burn all the crops, kill all of the animals that they didn't take with them so that the people left behind, if they were in hiding, would starve to death. And Habakkuk responds, and he says, though there's no figs, no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Not just I believe, but I will rejoice in you, Lord. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. What a declaration of faith. I don't know what you're doing, God. I don't understand it. But Lord, you're God, and I'm not. And I rejoice in you because I have the experience of knowing you. I know what you have done. I know who you are. And I don't understand sometimes the things we see in this earth. I don't have all the answers for you. I am a pastor, but that doesn't mean I have the answers all the time. And sometimes I shout this out and I say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why even though the numbers are few, that there are still people dying of this virus. I don't understand because of the economic failure that is going on. But Lord God, thank you, Lord, for being you, for what you have done for me, for who I know you to be. That's a mature faith. Your ways are much higher than mine, Lord. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. But Lord God, I know you to be good. And I know you to be working all things for my good. So Lord, help me. Help me even in my unbelief. What a declaration of faith. Now let's get down to some rubber meets the road stuff. If you're sitting there going, yes, I have trouble seeing that this is God moving. I don't understand what's happening and I have doubts. Well, how can you increase your faith? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's Romans 10:17. What I have been telling to you, if I leave you in the future when the time comes and I leave you with nothing but this, I will leave you with, you cannot just depend on on your faith through the few scriptures you read through your phone. You can't do it. Read it all. Get an understanding of it all. Start with the Gospel of John. Start in the New Testament. If I leave you with nothing else, you must read the Word of God, increase your faith, and open your worldview eyes to God as the Creator. Second thing, because faith is an action word, begin doing. Sometimes you might not feel like it. I don't feel like helping out in the church. I don't feel like going to my neighbor with a basket of food. I don't feel like working in the nursing home when that time comes. I don't feel like, it doesn't matter. This is not about feelings. Faith is an action word. Pray, ask God to direct you. Ask God to direct you as to what part you play in the church. And then say, Lord, here am I, send me, just as Isaiah did. Here am I, send me. And then be open for the small things. Before I went to Bolivia, I had a ministry in the street. I called it Street Reach. I just went door to door in the poor area of the city that I was living in, knocked on the door, and gave a loaf of bread away. And I said, you know, this is the bread of life. I would knock on the door sometimes, and people would shout back and say, who's there? And I would say, the Reverend, Street Reach. I made up the name on the spot one day when they asked me, and I got a loaf of bread for you, and I just want to pray with you. And I didn't force them to accept anything that I was saying. I just handed them a loaf of bread, and I said, got any prayer needs today? And you wouldn't believe the answers that came back to me. I had people confessing to me that they were hooked on cocaine, asking to pray. Lord, I have, you know, and they would say, will you pray for my health? I have AIDS. I have a friend that I took to a service with me to see T.D. Jakes because he had AIDS and was dying. And he just wanted to hear the word. He wanted to believe, and he was having difficulty. And he gave his life to the Lord at that conference. And when he died, he told his mother to tell me, tell Ron that I've kept the faith until the end. I still believe. And he died. He died a believer. It was only 3 months prior to that he accepted the Lord. Wild thing. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. It is a wild thing. Just that I started doing because I felt God was leading me to. That's it. Ask God what it is that he's leading you to. Listen, I didn't want to go out there every single Saturday and knock on doors. I didn't. I did that for six straight months. But because faith is an action word, begin doing. Pray for your eyes to be opened. Give me spiritual eyes, Lord. Give me discerning eyes and let me see your hands move. And thank him for his miracles and tell others about what he has done. Keep this in mind. Throughout the Old Testament, read the Psalms and you'll see that David constantly is thanking God over and over for things that God has done in his life. You did this and you did this and you did this. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your grandchildren. What are the miracles that took place in your life? And I asked about a challenge of prayer. I'm going to ask you another challenge. Think of a miracle that God has done. And call someone in the church and tell them about it. You know, I remember one thing that God has done. I want to share this story with you. Tell them. Share that faith, just like David did in the Psalms. Lot to think about this week. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, open the eyes of our understanding. Help our faith to increase. Lord, and when I don't believe, help me in my unbelief. Lord, I just thank you and I worship you. I pray for everyone in the church, Lord, that you would bless them, keep them, and increase us together in our faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. God bless.